Contrary, of course, to what the feminists have said, and we have, I think, adequately documented, women are important to God, and they have a role in the church. Now, it doesn't suit the feminist concept of it, of course, and they would not be pleased with what we teach on the subject, and some of them would, if it were possible, to help enact legislation to keep us from preaching what God has said about it. And that day may come, who knows how much more power people like that are going to end up having over our lives. But women are important to God. If you think about it, the woman, Eve, was the crowning act of creation. All other things have been created, including man. And yet, what did God say? In effect, he said, wait a minute, there's something very important missing here. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. He said, I will create a helper or a helpmeet for him. And formed, as we know, Eve from Adam. Brought her to him. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man. And for this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Just thinking about that very point right there, where culture says, and where all these feminists who are fighting to advance the cause of women, what they really are advocating is nothing more than promiscuity, really. That a woman in their mind can do anything she wants, can be with as many people as she wants, and yet she's supposed to find some kind of security in that? That's supposed to make her important? No, in a lot of degraded cultures, that makes a woman not very important at all. If the husband gets tired of her, just cast her aside and get another one. God gave her an exalted position. God says, that is now your wife. And you are to stay with her. And we know, of course, some other teaching on that. It's intended to be a lifetime. Mothers are to be honored, as are, of course, fathers, for that matter. But they're not to be treated just any old way. The Old Testament especially has a lot to say about how people would treat their moms and their dads. And mothers are supposed to be honored. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, Proverbs 1:8, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. You listen to what your mother is teaching you, and don't you forsake it. You honor it. You live by it. We call her the worthy woman. Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. What an honored position that she was in that family. Like a lot of families, a woman's importance cannot be measured in dollars and cents. You know, once in a while they'll try to figure out what would be the monetary worth of a wife and mother in the home for all that she does. And pretty much regardless of how they figure it out and what dollar amount they decide to assign to the woman for some particular task that she has in the home, men couldn't afford to pay them. It goes beyond the possibility of most men, if they had to pay her for all of those duties, there'd be money left over. Wouldn't even have enough. That's important. And that Proverbs exalts this woman. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. They're invaluable. If you have a good mother, be thankful to God that you have her. Tell her so. Tell her you love her. Tell her how important she is to you. Because someday, you won't be able to. You're going to want to. They're not going to be with you forever. You better tell her that while you have her. In the Old Testament and New Testament, women serve God with distinction. There's Miriam, Deborah, Esther. All these women in the Old Testament rose to prominence. Women in the New Testament, Anna, Elizabeth, Mary, Sapphira. Priscilla, I'm trying to think of. I'll get to her again later on. Priscilla and Aquila. Important woman. Helped her husband teach the gospel. Women are treated by respect with Jesus, contrary to what the feminists would like to make out of Paul's writings. Women were highly respected by the Lord. Luke chapter 10, 41 and 42, you may remember that's Jesus going into the home of Mary and Martha. And of course, Martha's distracted with the meal, verse 40. Mary's sitting there at Jesus' feet. Martha starts complaining. Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That's a pretty important statement to be said, isn't it? Of a woman. Of anyone, for that matter. John chapter 4, he has that encounter with the woman at the well of Jacob. She's surprised that he even talks to her. I mean, after all, she's Samaritan. And, you know, the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. In verse 9, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So he engages in this fairly long conversation with this woman. A Samaritan woman, nonetheless. Who would have been ignored by a lot of Jews, but not Jesus. He took time to talk to her, didn't he? That's because he respected women. Luke 11, verse 25. Martha again, Lazarus' brother. Lazarus has died. He says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. On the last day, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. For he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Assuring her that he's going to live again. More importantly, then he's going to be raised from the dead. He ensured fair treatment of the woman in John chapter 8. Her plight would have been overlooked by probably most of the Jews. But not by Jesus. Here's a woman they claim was taken in the very act of adultery. Now that may have been true, or may not have been true, but one thing is for certain. Where is the man? Supposing the act of adultery where there would be a man involved, why didn't they bring him? Now to some it might have been enough just to bring the woman and condemn her, but not to Jesus. He saw something there that was not only unfair, but was unscriptural. They wanted him to apply the punishment to her that the law would have required, but the only problem was the law would have required the same thing that happened to her happened to the man that was involved. And Jesus was not about to get himself involved in an unscriptural, illegal, in terms of the law of Moses, activity. Not going to do it. This woman caught in the very act of adultery. And in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say? Well, they kind of twisted that scripture just a little bit. They should have said, in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women and men. Now, they kind of left that part out, didn't they? Now, they were saying this, it says here, testing him, in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. Jesus didn't take part in it. That's when he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then he said, of course, let him know, whoever is without sin cast the first stone. Well, they sinned in the very thing they did. Woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way from now on, sin no more. Now, people do make a mistake in looking at that and saying, Jesus never rebuked her at all. Yes, he did. He told her not to sin anymore. But he did not participate in her being stoned, because he wanted her to be treated fairly. And they weren't doing that. Women are praised by Jesus in various different places and passages for various reasons. So for someone to say if you took the New Testament you would find a disrespect for women is just being dishonest, isn't it? In Matthew 15, verse 21, the Canaanite woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. He didn't answer a word. His disciples came to him, kept asking him, saying, send her away. She's shouting out after us. Now, it looks like that he's not really going to help her, doesn't he, at this point. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, see, the feminists would say, see, we're right. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Gave a chance for her to demonstrate her faith, and on that basis, she was praised. Yeah. Respected by Jesus. Who was it that was in a position to announce his resurrection? Women, they went to the grave early to dress, put some spices and so forth on his body. He wasn't there, of course. He was raised from the dead. They had the privilege of going and announcing that to the apostles. Jesus treated women with respect. They had a prominent role in the early church. They devoted themselves to prayer just as much as the men did. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We're not going to take a look at all of that, but they're just as devout. There's no indication that there's any difference in that regard between them. They were devoting themselves to prayer, it says, verse 14, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. There was a company of about 120 that were present in that gathering. And it included women. They were praying as well. They were there for prayer. They helped establish churches. Later on in the book of Acts, prominent role in establishing churches. In Acts chapter 16, for example, we have Lydia in the city of Thyatira. She obeyed the gospel and her household prevailed upon Paul and his companion to stay there. Prominent. Acts chapter 18, verses 18 to 28. Again, we're not going to look at all of that, but here's another instance where women were prominent in establishing congregation. So they helped out a lot. For feminists to come along and say women are ignored, they're not given credit for the things that they do, is just not being honest with the Bible. Furthermore, They were recipients of spiritual gifts, prophesied by Joel in Joel chapter 2, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Philip, for example, chapter 21 and verse 9, says that he had seven virgin daughters who prophesied. Now you have to look a little bit deeper and include everything it says in there to know the occasion upon which they may have exercised their spiritual gifts. But they had them. That's the point. They were not second class in that regard. It was not just the men who received spiritual gifts. It was prophesied that it would be men and women over in Joel chapter 2, and that exactly was the fulfillment of it here. But you know what? They also shared in the hardships of the gospel. It wasn't easy in that culture to be a woman to begin with. And then to be a woman who would be considered now outside the mainstream of culture and society by virtue of being a Christian would have added to that burden. But here's a faithful servant, Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. Paul said, "Receive her in the Lord, a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well." She was, who knows what she was doing exactly, we're not given the detail, but she was from the church at Cenchrea. Paul says, "You help this fine woman." Paul doesn't care about women? Really? I wonder, do they actually ever read what Paul said, what he wrote, and what he did? Makes me wonder. Philippians 4, verse 3. "Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also help these women, Iodas and Syntyche, who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Prominent role in the church. But limitations. Not to their salvation, because salvation is available to all. Male, female, as Paul talks about in that verse. Bond, free. Master, slave. No distinction made with regard to salvation for women. They're not second class when it comes to that. Furthermore, the fact that her role is limited doesn't make it less important. Now, what's the best illustration of that principle? Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about how that the Lord emptied himself. He took on the form of man. He existed in the form of God, verse 6 says. He didn't regard that as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Did Jesus somehow become less important when he came here to the earth? No. Did he shed the fact that he was God? No, he was now God in the flesh. So just because he was in a submissive role here on the earth to the Father does not mean that he wasn't as important. They make a grave mistake when they look at someone's role and they say, well, they're not as important. That's not true. Most people in positions of authority, if they're honest about it, would realize, yes, I'm in a position of authority, but I couldn't do my job without everybody else. They would acknowledge the importance of everybody. And that's exactly what we see with regard to women in the New Testament. Important. But with restrictions. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the text that we had read for us. Verse 12, "I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over man, but remain quiet." So there is a submissive role for women that does not make them any less important. and applies in the assemblies, apparently, if we were to do a long study there, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. There were circumstances where they could not exercise their spiritual gifts as the men could. There were even some restrictions on men in those assemblies. They had to do it one at a time, so forth and so on. They were known for their good works. Acts 9, verse 36, Lydia. Titus 2 and verse 4, the older women teach the younger women. Be keepers at home. Love their husbands, love their children, and so forth. Limitations. They don't run the household. They don't run the husband, but they are keepers at home. They manage that household. What an important job. Their teaching role in the public is limited. They are to teach, however. I put 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 there first because there Paul said that he wanted faithful men to be able to teach others. And the word there for man, faithful men rather, is a word men and women. So Paul authorizes women to teach, but that's not the only verse that deals with their teaching. They're authorized to teach the gospel. They're bound to teach the gospel. But as we read over there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, they're not to teach or usurp authority over man. And in Titus 2 verse 15, public teachers like Titus were told, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Yes, they are to teach, but not with the authority vested in someone like Titus. Priscilla, which I couldn't remember a while ago, she helped her husband Aquila teach Apollos the things of God, the gospel of God, more perfectly. So women have been given a very, very important role, and I think that all of us can think of women who are now still laboring in the kingdom, or some in time past, but are now gone from this life, who took their role in the church very seriously, who conducted studies, but who manifested that meek and quiet spirit and never sought to usurp any kind of authority that was vested in the men. And thus will one day be honored by God for that. Well, that's the conclusion. A little bit too long to get in that first one. All of us, whether we're man or woman, must try to serve God faithfully. Accept whatever role we are assigned by God. Men don't have unlimited authority either in the church. We're all bound by the scriptures. We're to be subject to elders as they are subject to Christ and lead us. So this idea that somehow because a woman may not have the same level of authority as a man, that somehow she's not important, being trampled upon, that's just not true. It's just not true at all. Well, if you're here this morning, you have this one more opportunity. Make your life right with God. Submit to His gospel, and then serve Him faithfully, and heaven will be your home, guaranteed by God. Let us know as we stand and sing together.